Let us pray. God Almighty, as we enter into this part of our worship, the message, I ask that you will bless me as the messenger, that I'll stay out of the way and you will speak through me. And I ask for each of us who hear this message, whether here in the sanctuary this morning or through recorded means, we'll hear from you and our lives be blessed because we've heard from you. We thank you for it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the church said, Amen. God bless you. It's great to be with you this morning. You may be seated. I am thrilled to be here today, and I'm looking forward to unpacking this message with you. It's something that I am very, very excited to be able to share with you, because it's a message that the more time I spent in preparation with it, the more excited I got about it. And perhaps you can relate exactly to what I'm talking about. And if I had been able to preach this message on patience just as recently as a month ago, I would have been able to say to you, it's been a long, long time since I've lost my temper. It's been a long, long time since I really had all my buttons pushed at the same time, and I lost my temper, and I blew up, and I got so upset that I really was shaking. Anybody ever been that kind of upset? Anybody ever been that kind of where you weren't in 100% control? But about 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call, and it reminded me of when the young girl said to her mother, "Mom, am I on your very last nerve?" I received this phone call, and it was a real painful phone call. It was ugly. And it was from someone who I respect and love, and that's why I was so caught off guard and shocked at how terrible the conversation was. It was a lot of criticizing and condemning and complaining, and it's not someone that's here in this church. It's somewhere else, and I just was listening and listening and listening, and finally, I lost my patience. I wish that wasn't true. I wish that wasn't true. I wish I could tell you it's been many, 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 many years since I've lost my patience. You ever lose your patience? Anyone ever get on your very last nerve? You ever say something you wish you could take back? This study today is on patience, and I subtitled it, "It's an Inside Job." When we look at patience, and we find this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're looking at the qualifications of an elder. And when we find the word patience, on its face, it seems like such a simple thing, this idea of patience, this idea of us having control. Let's look at the root of it. And when we look at the root in the Greek, 1933 in the Strong's Concordance, we find these root words, gentle and moderate. And then if you go further, it says, you dig a little deeper in the root word 1909 in the Greek, in the Strong's Concordance, says stable, not changed by surroundings. Stable, not changed by surroundings. So we look at patience and we look at these qualifications of a bishop and really the qualifications for Christian leadership. And we have to be in a place where we can control ourselves. And I said already, I don't know how I could be more transparent than I've already been, but I'm going to just revisit it one more moment. And it's to say, it's embarrassing to acknowledge that just as recently as 2 weeks ago, within the last couple weeks, I lost my temper. And I said things that I had to immediately apologize for, and I had to start over and get a fresh start in my conversation. And as Christians, we shouldn't ever be in a position where someone can push all our buttons. We should never be in a position where we really get to a point where we're no longer in control of our emotions. And at the heart of being patient, we find these words in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." He said in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He said in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And in verse 8 we read, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And this is how we can have our mind stayed on the Lord. This is how we can keep our hearts and minds stayed on the Lord. And it's not enough just to have a good day. We need to have patience throughout our days. And I started this message by acknowledging that I lost my temper recently. And I want you to know that it drove me to tears and it drove me to my knees. Because you deserve more out of Christian leadership than someone who can have their buttons pushed to the point where he loses his temper. And others in the world deserve more out of Christian leadership than someone who is having a good day one day and a bad day the next. Now, some people just have the ability to push your buttons faster than others, don't they? There are some people, when you see them coming, you think, is it possible that between here and there I will find something to do? Come on, you know those people. Is it possible that I won't have to engage in a conversation with this person? Or if I do, it will be very brief. But the reality is that we are family. We have, as Christ referred to, brothers and sisters. Amen. That aren't our biological brothers and sisters, but our spiritual brothers and sisters. And when we do get our buttons pushed, when we do lose our temper, we should really find ourselves with prayerful self-examination and say, how did that happen? What could I have done before I got to that point? And the reason I was so transparent in opening this message and telling you that happened to me recently is to tell you that you can learn something with that kind of reflection. You can learn something with that kind of reflection. I have. And I think the reason that I could tell you that this was a rare incident for me is because I have learned something when I've done that in the past. And I'm getting better and better. By the way, if you ever want to see me get upset, and this was the case in this particular conversation, criticize my family. Find fault with my wife. And be ugly about it. Yeah, I'm still working on that one. Pray for me. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, and we find these words as we look at the prophet. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Pastor Thomas has preached on this text before, and he's made reference to the fact that waiting isn't just sitting and doing nothing. Waiting is serving. You know, someone who calls themselves a waiter in a restaurant isn't just sitting and doing nothing. They're serving. And that's the context of this waiting on the Lord. We're serving the Lord. We're patiently waiting. "And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When everything's going our way, everything's just the way we want it to be, when we're having a great day, when everything's falling in place, patience is very easy to demonstrate, isn't it? It's easy to be patient when everything's right. But the test of patience comes when our rights are violated. Someone cuts you off in traffic, or we're treated unfairly. Someone criticizes you or your family, or they take something that's fact and take it out of context and twist it and throw it in your face. That's when we get a chance to really have our patience tested. A coworker is doing far less than their share and taking far more than their share of credit. We've all been in those situations. We've all been in the situations where our patience is tested. My wife said to me not too long ago after I preached a message, she said, "Pete, you make yourself very vulnerable in your messages." And I know that there's a school of thought on leadership that a leader should never admit their failures or their faults or their weaknesses or their challenges. They should just tell you how you should be and let you know that they're doing exactly what they're telling you to do. Well, if I thought I was preaching to a perfect group of people that had never made a mistake, I might have handled that differently rather than admitting my weakness. But I think it's something that all of us struggle with in one way or another, one time or another, one place or another, and it's something all of us need to strive to get better at. Amen? Anybody feel like, yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, I probably wouldn't rate myself at a 10 just yet on this topic of patience? Okay, so I'm not alone then. We can get better. And if we're going to lead others to Christ, we must get better. Would the church say amen? Amen. Patience is not passive. I want to say that again. Patience is not passive. Come with me, if you would, to Hebrews. And in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, we read these words. Wherefore, seeing we are all also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with what?
Patience.
With what?
Patience.
The race that is set before us. You know, you don't run a race passively. You engage yourself in the race. How many of you here have run a marathon? One? Shelby? Chris? I ran to a marathon once. I did. I parked here, and I was a full 20 yards from the place where I could watch it, and I ran all the way there. And I watched this marathon, but they didn't give me a sticker. I didn't get a 26-point. I got nothing, really, except the joy of watching it. But you don't run in a passive manner, do you? You run the race of patience by enduring and by meaning to continue and by growing. Look at Paul's prayer for the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, we read about Paul, how he prays for the Colossians. But come down, if you would, to verse 11, and let's look specifically at that. If you're writing notes, write Colossians 1, 9 through 14. But let's read verse 11 together. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. This idea of having Christian patience isn't a passive thing. It's something we need to strive for, and we need to be careful that we live it in every aspect of our life. And many of us have pet peeves, things that we almost feel entitled to lose our temper over. Some of us, it's driving. Anybody here, I'm not going to ask you to share any personal stories, but driving, stupid drivers bother you. Can I say that in church? Yeah, we got lots of hands up, right? I think they ought to have separate roads for stupid drivers in other parts of the world. Yeah. Yeah, I used to talk to the drivers in other cars, and my wife would tell me that they couldn't hear me, so I'd talk louder. It didn't help. She was right. This idea of being patient is not a passive thing. This idea of being patient is a work in progress. This idea of having patience in our Christian life really permeates every aspect of our life. Look at what we read in James, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. And James is saying here that trials perfect our patience. In verse 3, we read, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. I want to say that again. Let patience have her perfect work. And that's something, I'm going to read the rest of that verse in just a moment, but let patience have her perfect work. This is not something that you either have all at once or don't have all at once. It's a work. It's a work in progress. It's something we all need to grow in. And you know, the Bible tells us that the Lord won't put more on us than we could bear. Can the church say amen? But sometimes we limit what God can use us for. Do you remember the conversation that took place in the heavens when we're reading in Job about Job's life? God said, have you considered my servant Job? And when we talk about Job, we talk about the patience of Job. I'm going to refer to Job a little bit more in the message. I think I am, at least. Depends on where I get to in my notes. But when you think of Job, we think of the patience of Job, don't we? Well, how is it that God could say, have you considered my servant Job? Because his patience was a work, and it had been growing in his life, and God knew what he could trust Job with. Amen? Does God know what he can trust you with? Are there some things that God would like to ask you to do, but you're just not ready? I believe it was Tevye in The Fiddler on the Roof who said something to God about not trusting him with something he couldn't handle. And he said, I wish you wouldn't trust me so much, God. Sometimes you felt that way. Sometimes I've felt that way. You know, it just seems like I'm getting more dumped on me than makes sense, more than my fair share of challenges or trials or tribulations. This idea of patience, it's a work in progress. Let's read the rest of the verse. We're in verse 4. But let patience have her perfect worth, and then we pick up with, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect in that context means complete. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You can't really look at patience and give yourself a perfect score. I think it's something that we're always going to be striving for. You say, well, sure, you could say that, preacher. I mean, my goodness, you just told us you lost your temper a couple weeks ago at somebody. Well, I did. And I also told you that if I had preached this message a month ago, I could say it's been more than a year, a couple years, since I've really lost my temper like that. But you know what? The fact that I did it is unacceptable. And I hope that when you lose your temper, you find yourself saying, that's unacceptable. I need to do better. I need to learn from that. I need to understand how I can be in a position where I won't allow myself to do that. But patience is not just about losing your temper. Patience is about a state of mind. Patience is about a state of mind. And so in the context of the scripture where we're reading here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications for a bishop, or in the broader sense, as we've been saying through this teaching, qualifications for Christian leadership, we have to understand that patience is something that should be in the fabric of our being. And one way to help us look at this is in Romans, the 8th chapter. We'll first look at verse 28. In Romans 8 and 28, we read these words, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, that's the kind of verse you love to quote to someone else when they're going through trouble, but we don't necessarily want to read it when we ourselves are going through trials and tribulations. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. So somebody has a trial, a tribulation, a challenge, a problem, we say it's going to work for the good, but it's harder for us to look in the mirror and quote that verse and learn from it and grow from it and say, God has a plan for this. But God does. That which the devil intends for evil, God will use for what? Amen. And maybe you're going through a challenge, a trial, a tribulation. Somebody's not treating you fair. Someone's been unkind to you, unfair to you. And you're wondering, well, what good can come of this? Be patient. And let God show you what good can come of it. I want to share a little bit of my Christian testimony. I was 19 years old when I gave my heart and life to the Lord. I was a sailor in the United States Navy. I was a cook. I worked in the galley. I loved what I did. I enjoyed it. I really did. I know some people can't understand that, but it's true. I really did. And I had a first class who was my LPO, and prior to me becoming a Christian, he and I were drinking buddies. And when we had liberty or a day off, we'd go out and visit the clubs together and just being sailors, that's all. And we got along good because we were buddies. And then I became a Christian, and I told him I wouldn't go drinking with him anymore. And he was on a mission. because he said all Christians were phonies and he was going to prove that I was a phony too. And the short version of the story is he set out to do absolutely everything within his power to make sure that I would break, that I would snap, that I would somehow ruin my testimony as a Christian. I could give you a long list of things he did, but maybe I'll just pick one or two so you sort of get the picture. I already told you I worked in the galley, and those of you who don't know what that is, that's the dining hall. That's where you have your meals. And, of course, like every restaurant, there's a back dock area, a loading dock area. And we were all gathered together for a morning personnel inspection. We were in our dress whites. And my LPO came up to me and he said, Payne, I just heard that the captain's going to come through the back dock and it's not cleaned up. I need you to get out there and clean up the back dock. And he said, and of course I won't have you stand PI inspection because I was in my whites. So I went out and cleaned up the back dock, which means hose and squeegee, and cleaned up so my pants are black and everything on the bottom. I'm a mess. And then he came out and he says, hurry up, we're starting inspection. Yeah. Well, of course, I got in a lot of trouble for the way I arrived at that inspection. And I could tell you several other stories, but we'll just leave it at that one. Why don't we do that? So we both worked for a senior chief, and that senior chief took note of my Christian testimony, and he knew that I had, you know, really told everybody in the galley that, hey, my life has changed. It changed on August 11th, 1973. And so this first class continued to try to do everything he could to break me, to make me look bad. And of course, things like that would cause me to get lots of extra time to work in the galley and learn my trade. And this went on week after week after week. And that senior chief retired. He had a Rambler station wagon. Some of you have to look that up in the history books. He had a Rambler station wagon, and they had his ceremony and everything, and he stopped by the galley for his final goodbye. And I remember looking out the window and seeing him pull away in that Rambler station wagon, and he was a good guy. I loved working for that senior chief. He was an honest, good, fair man. And I saw him pull away, and I thought, I wonder if I'll ever see him again. About 10 minutes later, I happened to be right near that same window, and I saw his car pulling back into the staff parking lot. And he got out and he walked in and he says, Payne, can I talk to you for a couple minutes? And we walked outside, and no fooling, this was a tough guy. Tough, strong, manly man. His lips sort of quivered. A tear tried to come out of his eye, but he sucked it back in. He said, I owe you an apology. I said, for what, senior? Senior had never been anything but fair to me. He said, I saw how you were treated. I saw how Cupkey treated you all those weeks and months. I saw how after week after week after week, he would just make you look like you were a mess up. And I knew it was happening, and I started to interfere time after time, but then I wanted to wait and see if it was real, if this Christian experience you were talking about was real. And he said, I got to tell you something. I know it is. I know it is. And he shook my hand and he got in his car and he left. And I never did see him again. But what if God hadn't given me patience? And I know there's a risk of me telling that story because it looks like, oh, look what a great job I did. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that God gave me the patience to look at it through the eyes of Romans 8:28. That all things work together for good. I didn't know what good was going to come from it, but somehow, some way, there was a Christian testimony. And that senior chief may never remember my name, but he'll remember that there was some third-class petty officer that worked for him who said he became a Christian, and he went drinking. He quit drinking with the guys that would go drinking when they had liberty, and he said, you know what, that's not what I do anymore with my life. I was buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, and I don't live that way anymore. I don't laugh at the dirty jokes anymore. And you know what? I won't go there. I won't do that. And somehow, some way, God gave me the patience to just endure that. And many of you have endured much worse. Many of you have been to war. Pastor Thomas, 2 tours in Vietnam. I mean, my goodness, my story shouldn't even be told in the same room with war heroes like Pastor Thomas or Odie Thompson or others. I mean, I realize my story is, it's just a simple little story about a young kid who got saved and had a testimony. But at the heart of that story is the reality of patience. And when we lose our patience, we lose our testimony. When we lose our patience, we lose our testimony. And that's why it's a qualification for Christian leadership. That's why we have to have patience in our life if we're going to lead others to Christ. Now look, if you would, we're still in Romans chapter 8, but now come down to verse 18, if you would, please. And in verse 18, the writer tells us, "For I reckon that the sufferings..." And if that just sounds like a southern slang word, reckon in the context here, it means when you add it all up. If you took it in modern English, "for I reckon" would say when you add it all up. Does that make sense? "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so maybe you're having your buttons pushed. Maybe you're going through trials and tribulations. Maybe you're having some challenges. But I'll tell you this, that these words are true. They're as true now as they were then. "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And I look around and I see saints here today that have blazed the trail for me. I look at our sister Helen over here, faithful. She lives the life. I look at Sister Hazel Davis, the mother of our ministry. She was there when I got saved. She's about a year older than me. That's my mother-in-law, and I love her. And she blazed the trail, and she paved the way, and she was living the life long before I was saved. And several others here in this room who've been serving the Lord long before I accepted the Lord. And for those of us who've been serving the Lord, we're blazing the trail for those who follow behind us. Amen? And I tell you today, as sure as I can tell you anything, that if we don't work on this thing called patience, if we just allow ourselves to fly off the handle, to say negative things about others, to criticize, to condemn, to complain, to lose our patience and enter into arguments, we lose a portion of our right to lead others. And if we do it enough, we'll lose it completely. This thing of patience is essential to our Christian leadership. And if you want to have a testimony, if you want to make a positive difference, then work on patience. Amen? Somebody's saying, "I'm just being patient till he'll quit." Then be patient, because I'm coming close. When we looked a couple weeks ago at No Striker in these qualifications, reference was made to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And in that verse it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God be on the throne. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Amen? And if Apostle Paul thought it was worthy to write that to the church in Colossae, then it's good counsel for us too. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Sometimes we get troubled about things that don't matter, and here's a good test. Here's a good test. When you are troubled about something, something maybe is robbing your sleep, it's really eating at you, ask yourself this question: what difference will this make 5 years from now? Really, that's sincerely. I offer that as practical advice for what difference will this make 5 years from now? What difference will this make 5 years from now? You know, I'm a car guy. I like cars. And I like clean, neat cars. And some of you are resisting laughing right now because I realize that it's more than that. And I've been through counseling. Pastor Thomas sometimes refers to me as Monk, if you know the TV show. I'm fussy with too many things in my life. I'm getting much better. I really am. I really am getting better, but I was fussy. Our daughter Heather in high school played the tuba. She's leaving, but I'm going to tell a story about her anyway. I had a car. It was new. Didn't have a single dent in it yet. And she was walking out the driveway carrying her tuba in this big case. Pastor Wilson, it's
partially your fault. You gave her that tuba in that big case. No, seriously, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And she stepped up because they needed a tuba player in the marching band, and she said, I'll learn it. And it was cool because the tuba was big as her, and it was fun to watch her do it. And then she and Pastor Wilson went to Tuba Christmas several times in Chicago. I had a great time with it. It was a lot of fun. So she hit the car and dented it with the tuba case. And I had been praying about this idea of patience and moderation and, you know, and even this expression, what difference will it make 5 years from now? And she came back in the house. She was leaving for school in the morning, and I was in the house. I was in the kitchen, and she was walking out to her car. Her and Holly shared a car at that time, and she was walking out to her car and hit my car with the tuba case and dented it. It was a small dent. And she came back in. She said, Dad, I hit your car with the tuba case, and I dented it. And she was really concerned how I would react to this because I'm, as I've already said, you know, mentally challenged in that area. And I was blessed with that, those words passing through my mind right then. You know, what difference will it make 5 years from now? And so I said to her something to this effect. And again, I'm not saying this to make myself look good, because I think I've already made it quite clear that I'm not perfect in this area. It's a work in progress. But I said, you know what, Heather? I want to thank you, because every time I look at that dent, I'll be reminded of you and how wonderful you are and how much I enjoy hearing you play the tuba. But you don't have to put another one in it to prove the point. I promise. I promise that that dent is sufficient. And so then a little while later, I had someone hit me in a parking lot, and I was getting the bodywork done from it. And the guy at the repair shop said, do you want me to take that dent out while I'm doing the other? And I said, no, leave that one there. I didn't tell him the story. I just said, no, leave that one there. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of choice. This idea of patience is not minor. It's a big deal. Look at what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the church of Galatia. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, these are the fruits of the Spirit. And in verse, if I said 20, I'd like to correct myself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. He goes on in 23 to say meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are qualities that ride in the same car with patience. They reside in the same mind and the same heart with patience. And patience is a struggle for some of us more than others. And so some of you are hearing this message today and you're saying, that's no problem. And some of you are hearing this message today and say, wow, that's one I really need to overcome. That's one I need to really get right. I need to quit getting upset. I need to quit letting someone or something push my buttons. To have peace and to have patience, we must have trust. And there's several scriptures you could use for that, but let's go to Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 3, the third division of Proverbs, we find this in verses 5 through 7. It says, trust, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall what? Amen. That's what we want, isn't it? We want God to direct our path, don't we? Don't we want God to direct our path? And it starts, what's the first word in that passage? Trust. And saints, I tell you today, singers, would you come and prepare to sing a song as we get ready to close? We must have trust. And we must come to the Lord. And so I'm reaching out to those who have ever struggled in this area of your life with patience. And I'm asking you to find ways to trust in the Lord more. To trust in the Lord in a way that you will allow yourself to find this patience overflowing in your life. You find this patience in every fabric, in every fiber of your being. You find this patience in a place in your life where you can recognize it in progress even before you have to pray for it. When our things in life seem out of season, remember that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you're writing notes, write Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. And I'll just tell you that It says there's a season for everything. This thing of patience sometimes has to do with just realizing that it's not the right season for what you want. You know what? I wish this would happen, or I wish that would happen, but maybe it's just not the right season. Can I talk plain to you for a moment, church? Anybody that's ever been engaged and you want to be married? You're anxious for intimacy. But it's not season until you're married. There's a time for it. There's a place for it. There's a time when it'll be perfect and it's supposed to be there. But if we take it out of season, if we don't have patience, we interfere with the plan of God. Amen. Last verse. I'm coming in for a landing. We find in the first chapter of Joshua, God is instructing Joshua. He's telling him what he's going to have with his in his life. He's telling him what he's going to have to do battle of life with. And in verse 9, Joshua 1 and 9, we read these words. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Have patience. If we get this thing right, saints, we get this thing right, we're going to find ourselves in a different place in life. Patience is an inside job. Let it flow in your life. Find yourself having more and more of it. It's a great joy. It's a great joy. There was a time in my life when I had very little patience. And now, at this stage of my life, I'm almost 60 years old. I've been a Christian for a little over 40 years. I find myself better and better at it, but still it's a work in progress. Still it's a work in progress. And so if that's true for me, I've got to believe it's true for others here today. So will you just take the challenge and say, God, help me to be patient. Help me to see things your way. Help me to answer the way you'd have me to answer. Help me to respond the way you'd have me to respond. Help me to live the way you'd have me to live. Help me to forgive the way you'd have me to forgive. Help me to be more patient.
Heavenly Father, we come to you as clay in your hands.
Yes.
You've told us through this message today to be patient. And Lord, the greatest thing that we can do for anyone else is to have patience with them like you've had with us. So, Lord, help us to grow and to develop into those mirror images of you. Lord, we'll never reach that day until you gather us up into your flock in heaven. But, Lord Jesus, every day we must strive to be like you. So the rest of this week, Heavenly Father, we pray that we will be available to you and that, Lord, you will have no reason for reservation to use us because we are striving every day to be your testament, to be your witness on earth of the great things that you do for us. And now, Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, we ask your blessing to be upon us. No matter where we walk, we ask that your angels just sweep the way ahead of us. May we be available to you at all times. May your blessings of peace be upon us. And Lord, may you always find us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.